Yesterday, again, not for the first time, the possibility was discussed of the army doing things. Yesterday we were talking about, or people were suggesting or asking the question, why wasn't the army called in to help prevent some of the violence which was associated with the taxi strike of yesterday morning? And that morphed, as it always does, into more broader questions about why isn't the army, and the regular things came up, why isn't the army deployed to townships that are suffering particularly from gang violence? And then I was also asked, why isn't the army used to patrol Metro Rail's lines here in the Western Cape to prevent the kind of cable theft and signal damage which is so much part of their problems in providing a decent service to consumers? I said we've spoken to many, many experts. They all say the Defence Force is not trained for that kind of work. It would be inappropriate for them to be deployed to do that kind of work. But you're insistent. So I said we would find somebody else. And it's not somebody to whom we have spoken before about this matter. John Stupart is editor of the African Defence Review. John, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Is there a role for the SANDF in its current form to be deployed in matters more civil?
There is a case for it to be made, not so much in this taxi violence, obviously, but I think when you look at larger security breakdowns, I'm talking 2008 xenophobic riots, for example, and the violence that broke out there, the Defence Force can play a useful, almost sort of backup role to the police force in just freeing up police services for more urgent policing matters within that realm of something like, you know, massive violence and killings going on. In terms of taxi violence, I'd say absolutely not.
In terms of drug-related violence, gang-related violence, which, I mean, it's not unique to Cape Town, but it is a much bigger problem in certain areas of Cape Town than it is in other parts of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, certainly ever since I myself moved to Cape Town, there's been a lot of, I've heard the arguments countless times saying, well, we should just bring the army into these areas to fight the gangs, and that's going to fix everything. And I think that's a holdover from, I think, a lot of people who either their fathers served in the old South African Defence Force as conscripts, or were themselves conscripted into the old South African Defence Force, where there's almost, As a holdover, there seems to be this mentality or this pervasive attitude that the Defence Force is a cure-all for our security issues, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. The Defence Force is a blunt object, especially when you apply it to something like gang violence inside your borders of your own country, where you actually need something like a scalpel, as it were, and that is far more within the realm of policing than it is in the Defence Force. You bear in mind that the Defence Force don't have, for all intents and purposes, with the exception of the military police, do not have powers of arrest. The soldiers cannot arrest gang members. They cannot intervene. They operate either from a position of standing on guard or aiming your rifle to shoot to kill people. And that's not really a skill set you want to bring into a civil matter, such as as you see in Cape Town.
So, I mean, I think people accept the lack of powers of arrest and so on, but, and I really, for somebody, I doubt that you live in a situation where you have to confront this kind of violence on a daily basis in the way that tens of thousands of Cape Townians do. And so we're two relatively privileged people talking about a subject academically, if you like, because it doesn't affect us on a day-to-day level. And there's a sort of feeling that maybe just as a pacifying measure, patrolling the streets, here we are, we've got big guns, watch out, that as a short to medium term pacifying measure would make a difference, would make people feel a little bit more comfortable about going about their daily business.
I think I'm not going to sit here and say that having soldiers in your streets is not an intimidating factor for any kind of criminal element. I think that's absolutely true. And yeah, like you say, I certainly don't live in this existence where my daily commute is life threatening. And I think it's tempting to think, well, okay, then the military will be this silver bullet solution in the interim that's going to fill the void left by the policing gap, that the government has sort of now enforced in the Cape. And I think that it's very enticing to think that way. But I would actually say we're being awfully simple-minded about this. The military, if it could provide any benefit in these areas, could do so through things like aerial surveillance, providing it's called ISR support, surveillance and reconnaissance overhead through its helicopters. Ace the Plot is right there. You don't need to have heavily armed soldiers in the streets to actually get some eyes and ears in terms of criminal activity in these areas. Now, obviously, you're talking about a sort of visible security element as well, and I'd caution against this sort of approach, just in that you have to be careful what you wish for. And I think the Philippines, for example, is a case in point of what happens when you get an over-militarized environment within your borders.
Yeah, but I suspect, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but I suspect that there are a lot of people who would like somebody like Duterte to be doing what he's doing in the Philippines here, because they would feel that that at least is government taking the fight to the enemy.
Certainly, and I think that's all well and good until you know a cousin or a brother or a sister or a child who gets shot in the crossfire, which is an inevitable result of this kind of highly militarized sort of policing, or even at that point, it's basically a counterinsurgency. And I think that's detrimental and life-threatening on all kinds of reasons. You don't hear the stories of human loss by the innocent bystanders that are caught in the way in the Philippines. You only hear the government line, and I think that it's very, very difficult to go down that slope and then come back up from it afterwards.
John Stupar, thank you very much indeed, editor of African Defense Review. As I said, we'd not spoken to John about this before. I had no idea what he was going to say. There was at least a possibility that he might say, yes, the Defense Force could and should be used in ways other than what he mentioned there with helicopter surveillance and so on. And if you know of anybody who mounts what you think is a powerful case for the Defense Force being used in the way that so many listeners seem to want it used, well then please let me know who that person is, and we'll certainly put him or her on the radio.